This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
Here at Audi, we have some good news to share with the world. Unfortunately, our good news is bad news for our competition. So to soften the blow, we brought in the very best at delivering bad news. Someone's mom.
The Audi A4 is the biggest, fastest, most fuel-efficient car in its class. Oh, honey, I know it's hard to hear, but it'll be okay.
I'm David Jones, inviting you to test drive an impressive new Audi A4 Premium today at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com. Audi. Truth in engineering.
Well, Peter Kessler is a golf historian. He's worked at Golf Channel, PGA Tour Network. He's got the number one podcast in golf with the Peter Kessler Show, available at revolutiongolf.com. Always great to have my friend Peter Kessler back on the Augusta Golf Show. Hi, Peter.
Always great to be with you. And, you know, usually we hit the high points of the year, and, of course, we're going to talk about one today.
Yeah, Ryder Cup. The residue from the Ryder Cup, is how big a mess is all of this, and how easy is all of this to fix?
It's a big mess, but I think it'd be easy to fix. I mean, the problem, the original problem, is that there was no plan. I mean, it's amazing to think that sort of they never sat down and said, okay, which guys are the wild drivers of the golf ball? Well, let's see, Phil, Bubba. So maybe we shouldn't have those guys in foursomes because they'll leave their playing partner in not a good place. So, all right, let's decide, therefore, that these guys play four ball. They don't play four. But that should have been done ages in advance so that, you know, he had his alternatives all sitting on like a football coach does. He looks at what the alternatives are. He didn't look at what the alternatives were before the match started, so it became seat of the pants. And the first problem to me, and I haven't heard this mentioned yet, came in the first match he sent out. He sent out the two worst players he could have sent out in Webb Simpson and Bubba Watson. Bubba's so nervous and twitchy and unpredictable, and he can get wild, and he hears things that nobody else hears. You know, P.G. Woodhouse said, you know, he hears the uproar of the butterflies in the adjoining meadow, and that's the way Bubba Watson is. So very flighty and nervous. And then you pick literally your player who's in the worst form of anybody on your team in Webb Simpson, who was your iffiest pick, and you put them out first because a few years ago they happened to team together and won four-ball match that they won 5-4. You know, that's like when Greg Norman won Doral in 1992 and 94. Somebody said, well, of course, now he's going to win this year. It has nothing to do with anything. So I thought that was curious. The fix is just have a plan and let the players sit around during the week. Make sure they're there on Sunday, you know, the worst case Monday, so you have at least two nights to sit around and say, what about this? Or I like to play with Joe. I like to play with Fred. It just seems like it'd be so easy to do. The whole pod thing with Azinger is completely overblown. It's a big blowhard thing. And Watson's insular handling of the thing was also not the way to go. Common sense could prevail. Figure out your teams in advance. Don't play hunches. Let your young kids who are playing well continue to play. It doesn't seem so complicated.
Well, there was a lot of talk about Tom's gut, and you've known Tom for a long time. Is Tom not strategic in his thinking? And the other thing that has crossed my mind since the Cup is in managing a team, in captaining a team. You know, whatever drove Tom Watson to be the champion golfer Tom Watson is, I think it seemed as if he thought, well, that's what would drive everybody.
Well, you know, there's an onlyness and a sort of a loneliness in championship golf. It's just you. You know, championship golf, not talking about the four major championships, the most important stuff. And Watson was a gritty, flinty character, really entirely self-reliant, wasn't afraid to be wrong, wasn't afraid to speak his views. But that doesn't translate well into a leader of men. And it didn't translate well in this case from somebody who really was the only thing that mattered, didn't become a leader of men, and therefore wasn't inclusive. And so when Phil even had to text to ask if he could play one afternoon, he probably felt like he was being intrusive. So I think Watson didn't take counsel from his guys like Stricker and Ray Floyd and who was his third guy?
Andy North.
And those players, you know, Ray Floyd is easily old enough to be Jordan Spieth's grandfather, and I'm sure Jordan wasn't intimately familiar with the stuff that Ray has done, so there was a disconnect, especially those white jackets on Sunday. What a disconnect that was. But, I think that Watson turned out to not be the man for the job when he so could have easily been the man for the job. A couple of dinners and a couple of sheets of paper on a legal pad, and the whole mess could have been averted. But once he just went off on his own and didn't know what he was doing and sat down great players for a full day, and Webb Simpson only had to play one bad round, and he was out for the rest of the matches until he had to play on Sunday, it was Watson giving in to the notion that, you know, I made a bad pick. So some picking iffies, but also his view is it's an individual game. He doesn't believe in pods. He believes in each guy going out like he used to go out and just fight until you win. I mean, that's what he knows, and that's what he expected. He didn't expect, I think, on one hand, to have to be a genius with pairing, because he just assumed, like the manager of the Yankees once assumed, that Ruth and Gehrig would play good baseball, and normally they did, and including in the World Series. And here's a situation where a lot of his guys did, you know, just didn't step up. I mean, Hunter Mahan, just pick any example. Hunter Mahan, it was unbelievable. I mean, you know, in the foursomes match, he's, you know, on a drivable hole, he hits it so far right they can't hardly find the golf ball. On the last hole, you know, in singles, he's got a chance to do something nice if he can chip it on the green and two putt, and instead he hits a wedge that he talked about for 10 minutes with his caddy that NBC announcers were talking on top of him and the caddy, so that was fun. Then he hits it over the green, makes a six on a hole that everybody was making birdie for, and then gets interviewed and says, well, it is what it is. He had not the slightest bit of bitter taste in his mouth from his incredible screw-up. He was leading his match four up, and he ends up having the thing, you know, with a pitch that you and I would have hit over the green from a difficult situation, perhaps. I mean, it was, you know, it was like 8 and 10 handicapper stuff, and he had no problem with it afterwards. That really burned me up that he didn't have a problem with it. Reminded me of Billy Horschel when, in the first of 3 weeks where he went 2-1-1, and he dumped that 200-yard shot 100 yards short, you know, everybody said, you know, he's a choker, and at the end, because he missed a putt to finish outright second, when they interviewed him, he said, you know, the thing I'm really upset about is that I didn't end up finishing second because I missed that putt. He wasn't upset about finishing first. He was upset about the differential in the money between third and second. Yeah. So I think, you know, to go back to your original question, Watson expected these guys to be individuals and to be tough, and that if he made mistakes in pairings, well, the guys were going to make it okay because they were going to play great golf. So I get where he came from, the onlyness and the loneliness.
Before I let you go, a lot of talk about a program needs to be created. A lot of times USA Basketball is brought up, that the Ryder Cup captain ought to be the captain for a couple, two, three cycles. Let's get serious about this. Give me your thoughts on that.
This is not a two-year job. What a farce they make this into. I mean, it's really silly. The teams are not going to be formed again for 23 months. We know where we're going to play, know how the golf course is going to set up. We've played the U.S. Open there. We've played the PGA there. It's not a mystery. 9 or 10 of the players are going to be automatic, depending on if they make any changes. They're going to make a date change, obviously, and make it much closer to the matches, and maybe even let you pick a guy the Sunday before the matches, perhaps, which isn't the worst idea I've ever had. But I think there'll be a few changes, but I don't think it's a job in perpetuity. I think, you know, they could trot out the same guy every couple of years. years, but it's not a two-year situation. It's the most overrated, least effect on the outcome of the match job that you could possibly have. At least in baseball, there's a strategy, but in the 1920s, there was no strategy. They didn't have relief pitchers. Guys hung in the whole game, basically. You know, and so Ruth and Gary could keep hitting, and they could keep piling up the great hits at the end of the game. Okay, you know, so you can't do that anymore. And there's no strategy in golf either, except try to pick guys who don't drive it wild in the foursomes. I can't think of anything else. And have good players and good players at the top and the bottom of your lineup on Sunday. But I just think you bring in a bunch of intelligent people. You bring in Jack. You bring in guys who've had success who may not be that intelligent. You bring in Freddie Couples. You bring Paul Azinger in. You have a series of dinners or a series of meetings over the couple of years, and you kind of lay out a blueprint of, essentially, who's going to play in foursomes. It's just not that complicated. And the guys you don't play in, that you don't play in the morning in best ball, the four guys you don't play, you let them play foursomes behind you, and then those four guys actually play foursomes in the afternoon, which is exactly what Paul McGinley did, which is just total common sense. So a nice little group of people get together on occasion. The managers, the captain's job should be relatively easy because the variables are worked out on paper. It's like you see a guy on the sidelines with his clipboard. The variables are there. Tom Watson didn't know what they were and didn't know how to react to the situation as it occurred.
He is Peter Kessler. He is the host of the Peter Kessler Show, the podcast on RevolutionGolf.com. As always, Peter, I always appreciate the time. Thank you so very much.
Oh, it's great to be with you. You're the best, my friend.